Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of your local Ford dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's your local Ford dealers pregame show here on The Score. We've got Olin Kreutz. We've got Patrick Manley. I'm Mully from the morning show. And now it's Grody time. We've got the man himself, Mark Grody, joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app, and I tell you what, this is commitment. I know for a fact that Grody drove down early and looked at the field just to give Olin a report of how the field looked. Mark, way beyond and above, always so committed. What's it like down there?
Yeah, you know what? I did. I tried to go down there. I had my driver take me to Soldier Field and on the outskirts, but they sniffed me out and they said, no, you turn around and go home. So I followed their rules, and I'll try to get there a little bit
Grody,
later.
They do the same thing to me nowadays at Hallis Hall and Soldier Field. Don't feel bad.
What are you talking about? Tony Medley gave you that T-shirt.
He did. Yeah, Illinois, man. I'm beat up all
Illinois.
Over the place. I need
Good
a win.
For you. Be proud.
ILL.
Gentlemen, I know that usually when I come on with you guys, we're like an hour and a half from game time, and I'm giving you the inactives and letting you know who's going to play and who's not going to play. But it's pretty obvious right now what the injury report's going to look like, because it all sort of sprouted for us on Friday for people who were not fully locked in. T.J. Edwards is out. Kyler Gordon is a no-go. Jalen Johnson, as you guys know, is out. So is Jalen Jones. DeAndre Swift, questionable, which is a problem if he doesn't play. I'm not quite ready to turn over the running backs room to Kyle Manungai and Roschon Johnson at this point. Grady Jarrett is good to go. And I don't know if you guys have seen this report today from Ian Rappaport of the NFL, but he says that Jalen Johnson plans to fly to Philly early this week to meet with one Dr. William Myers of the Vincera Institute with core muscle surgery, the likely outcome, sources say, to Ian Rappaport. If that's the case, Johnson would have a chance to return during the second half of the season. So a little blip, and I stress blip, of optimism in the Jalen Johnson saga.
Grody, we know a lot's been going on this week with the practice habits, and we got to practice better. And what was your feel up there at Hallis Hall at how the team took to that, and how obviously you're in the media now, you work 3-4 times a week, you got to talk about it too. What was your overall feel that you actually get to see them and talk about it and react to what the coach is saying? What are the Chicago Bears saying that they can get them moving in the right direction in that area that they struggled with last year too?
Well, it's been a wild week up there, Olin. There's no doubt about it, with, as you said, the coach setting the tone this week by saying that their practice habits are not up to championship level. And quite frankly, it turned out to be, in my opinion, the perfect tone set. Because guess what? Some players may not have liked it, but Ben Johnson had to say something, because the two losses have been horrid. I mean, they're not just that. And then if the two losses are bad and he doesn't think everybody is practicing well, then something had to be said. This team, a lot of the players were around here last year, endured a 10-game losing streak. And sometimes Ben Johnson acts like he doesn't know anything that went around here over the last couple of years. That wasn't me. That's a different time. No, he knows exactly what happened. He knows exactly what went down in that locker room. He knows exactly how bad those losses were. So you don't want to lose the team this early. So something had to be said. So I applaud Ben Johnson for saying that. It's not like he said that their practice is awful. He's saying that they're not practicing at a championship level, which is a high degree of practice expectation. But in the locker room, Olin, to be more specific, you know, we probably talked to 5, 6, 7 players about that very topic, and every player kind of had a different way of answering it. You know, DJ Moore was like, let's prove them wrong. Let's get pissed off a little bit, just paraphrasing. Grady Jarrett was kind of like, what I took away from the Grady Jarrett stuff, who really didn't seem to be pleased with the idea that Ben Johnson was, you know, saying that their practice habits were bad. I think he's throwing his arms up and saying, you know, kind of like, don't look at me. You know, I'm out here practicing my ass off. And that, you know, one could probably suspect that Grady Jarrett is, because that's what he's all about, work ethic and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, some of the players on and off record didn't really want to hear it, but I think that that's good. I think it's the proper motivation. You cannot allow 52 points in a game last week. You cannot blow a 17-6 lead and lose to a rookie quarterback and not expect there to be a little bit extra at Hallis Hall. And it's something that we didn't see out in the open, at least last year.
Hey, Mark, I love hearing that. And then one of his introductory press conferences, he talked about, let's get comfortable being uncomfortable. Is this a way he's trying to keep this team uncomfortable, to try to keep them on edge?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. I mean, I would expect that a lot of the players, and any player worth their soul, they're uncomfortable with having lost the way they did last week. I mean, they were embarrassed, and maybe that starts with the head coach being embarrassed last week. So, I'd like to think that a lot of these players are already, you know, have the proper edge, but I think it's great that things are being said to negate what has been a losing culture over the last few years. And that's part of what Ben Johnson is undoing. And we don't know yet if Ben Johnson can do that. We don't know how successful of a coach Ben Johnson will be. All the signs point to Ben Johnson is going to be a good head coach, but he's being tested early. He's being tested early on culture and the proper things to say, the proper things not to say, game planning, all of that stuff. It's sort of hitting Ben Johnson all at once here right now. And, of course, therefore, that falls over to the players as well.
Hey, Mark, we've talked a lot on this pregame show and postgame show how this feels similar to years past, the way they've lost the last 2 weeks, all that kind of stuff. But you being in the locker room, how different is this locker room than it has been in the past? I know on the field it kind of looks the same, but does it feel different? Or we're talking about the words coming out, but does it feel different than it has in the past with different coaches?
I'd say it feels different right now, Pat, only because it's so early in the season and it feels different in that, you know, that you don't have guys, for lack of a better phrase, you know, breaking bad yet on guys. You don't have guys allowing us to read between the lines about certain opinions they may have about other players or other coaches. But I do think that there is also, especially with the guys that have been around, some of the guys that have endured 2 10-game losing streaks over the last 3 years, that they don't want to let this thing get away because they know how miserable it is for everybody when you lose 10 games in a row. It's miserable for them to, you know, to play a game, to practice, to see the hordes of media walking into the locker room, you know, and having to answer all of our questions, you know, and, you know, some guys ducking us. And so far, you don't have that, but you just, that's why I'm stressing on somebody. You just can't let this thing spin out of control. I've been saying, I didn't pick the Bears to win either of the first 2 games. I also predicted the Bears would have an 8-9 record this year, but I also, with the caveat that it wouldn't, that there would be, we'd be encouraged, that there would be encouragement, and it would be, there'd be a means to an end. And so far, with those first 2 losses, there's really nothing good to take away from those games.
There are 33 players left that'll be on the field, I believe, today that played for Matt Eberflus. Have you talked to them? Have you kind of gauged that? I mean, he was the first ever Bears coach fired in season a year ago, and it was poorly handled by any measure. They had him go do the Zoom news conference, and then they launched him later in the day. Did anybody talk about that? Is there any? I mean, I don't expect a great sentimental return, but I'm just curious as to what the reaction was to that. No one said he betrayed them or anything?
No, I mean, there's been none of that. I think, here's what I think, Molly. I think that at the core of it, nobody disliked Matt Eberflus personally. Like, and a lot of times that is the case. Like, if a coach goes or whatever, or sometimes that's the case, like, where it's just it got bad between the players, that never really happened with him. But the players aren't stupid. You know, they knew that there were things, that mistakes that were being made by Matt Eberflus and maybe his coaching staff as well, so they could see it. And look, for the most part, the temperature about Matt Eberflus has been calm. And DJ Moore was straight up asked if it would be awkward, and he didn't even mince words. He said, no, it's not going to be awkward out there. You know why? And I think part of it, guys, is because last year was sort of its own movie, its own entity, with how horribly it went. And we went hard after Matt Eberflus, and Eberflus took more in the media, you know, justifiably, than just about any coach that I've ever seen in the time that I've been watching or covering the Bears. He gets fired in season, first coach to ever have that happen. The Bears make him do a Zoom before he gets fired, which was ridiculous. So it's almost like he got his. And so even if you didn't like, if you're a player and you didn't like Matt Eberflus, at this point you could kind of look at it and say, well, he served his sentence, so to speak.
Grody, with all the penalties, the mental mistakes, and the things we've been hearing and watching from the Bears, just talk about the players. And I know that the coach is only in his third game, and he's trying to get this thing on the right track that went off the rails, as you're saying right now. I know the media, you guys know up there, that if you look through your notes, these guys are saying the exact same things they said last year about details and attention to getting things on the right path, and we need to be held to a standard. And I mean, if you looked at what Caleb Williams said about Thomas Brown when they hired him, he almost said the exact same thing he said about Ben Johnson being the coach, that they concentrate on the little details, that they're making us work harder, that they were getting to play faster, I could get to the line of scrimmage, I could see the game, but nothing's really changing. Do you guys ever ask the players, yeah, I know you're saying that, but you said that last year?
I have not used that one yet, Olin, but if the Bears do commit a bunch of penalties today, I will find a way to form that question and ask the players.
Be careful now. Keep your hands up. I know these guys can get mad.
I know, man. What would happen?
Olin can ask those questions, Mark. I would be
from
careful.
Zoom, Mark, from Zoom, to be clear, I can.
Olin, what would happen if I came up to you and asked you that question? I was like, Olin, man, you gave me all that stuff last year too, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like I think Molly could tell you that I would have conversations with people in the locker room and answer back. But if you were being truthful and honest, I could deal with it, right? If I did say it the year before, then I got to answer for that. Yep. And some of that, I almost think the Bears grow down how you feel. But if I'm Ben Johnson, man, I put together all the quotes that they said over the last 2 years, and I show it to them. And I'd be like, okay, like, you guys are the ones saying this. When are you guys going to fix it?
Right. Because you know what? There's some things, too, Olin, that really sound good to satisfy us, the media. And sometimes we fall for it. You know, like, if guys are saying, oh, yeah, we got to get on our details and all that kind of stuff. Like, it does sound like a satisfying answer to us. I will say that there is one guy in that locker room who sounds more genuine than the others when he is uttering those exact words that we're talking about, and that'd be DeAndre Swift. And I know, like, Swift is easy to, you know, rip on because he's not a 100-yard rusher and all that kind of stuff, and he had a rough year last year. But just listening to him talk, seeing him, his body language. He's had enough of it. Now he had a key penalty himself on that first drive, first play of the third quarter. So he's got to point the thumb a little bit. But I will say that that's one guy out of all of them that I felt has stepped up a little bit more in terms of the leadership in the locker room this year. And he's a quiet guy, but there's substance, I think, to the words that he is using.
I think what's interesting with him, Mark, and I'd like to get your take on it, is that they brought a pass rusher or an end up from the practice squad, signed him through the year. They brought up a cornerback for this game because of injury. They brought up a linebacker for this game due to injury. But they did not bring up a running back, which they only have one, Bretaine Brown. But Swift has played almost 70% of the offensive snaps. I think it's 68.9 of the offensive snaps. And I Roshan didn't get any carries last week. Obviously you gave some throwaway time carries to Kyle Manunga, but you're not giving the ball to anyone else but him, and he is the featured back. I'm curious why they're not doing that, or why they wouldn't have. If he's injured, why didn't you bring up another running back from the practice squad?
Well, and Molly, that's why I started the segment here. At least part of what I said was that if DeAndre Swift doesn't go today, and again, he is questionable, limited in practice on Friday, so he was out there, so my gut says he's going to play, they're in trouble, because Kyle Manunga, who might develop into a nice running back, and I like Kyle Manunga, but he's not ready to be your featured running back in any way, shape, or form, as a runner or as a blocker. I'd work him in, get him some carries, let's see what he can do, but he's not there yet. We know that Roshan Johnson has always been a bit of a mystery, like runs hot and cold, and we know he's not a load back. So if he's not the guy, and why maybe Britton Brown is not here, who had a really good game in one of those preseason games. I mean, I think that they are that's just not a position they have managed well this season. Going back to the draft and talking about moving up in the first round, talking about getting Travion Henderson in the second round, and I hate to keep on bringing that up, but it's a bright, blinking light right now, especially, Molly, considering the fact that this is what Ben Johnson wants to do. He wants two tight ends. He wants two running backs that can get you 100 yards in any game. So it's sort of ironic that position, that they are really stuck in the mud at that position today. So hopefully you get whatever you can get out of DeAndre Swift today. Maybe a surprise party out of Roshan or Manunga, but I'm not predicting that.
You're talking about the left tackles? I'm sorry, what were we talking about? I'm running back. I'm sorry, running back. I got you.
Well, hey, Mark, I got another player or position to talk about here. I'm on my Circus Sports app, and I'm trying to figure out, is Colston Loveland going to get a reception? Are the tight ends going to see the ball? I mean, we drafted the kid, right, as a first-round high pick. Cole's a second-round pick. I mean, what's going on here? Can you help me with this? Should I put money on him?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would, because, boy, I mean, did he ever hear about it this week? I mean, if the theme of the week hadn't been the practice habits, it would have been the lack of tight end calls or plays or Caleb. You know, we had Kevin Fishbane on from The Athletic last week, and he did a whole breakdown showing many times where Colston Loveland was open on the field and Caleb not hitting him. Now, we don't know, as Kevin even said, we don't know who the primary read was. We don't know what the play called for. We don't know if Ben Johnson was wanted the underneath pass. So there's a lot that we don't know. But for whatever it's worth, there have been times when Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet have been open. So it's possible that chemistry is not there yet. But I got to believe that Ben Johnson, who put it on him, he said that the tight ends aren't getting the ball, put that on me. I got to believe that there's going to be more action to the tight ends. And I know you guys have talked about the Dallas defense. This is the week that you could try stuff. This is the week, assuming Dallas doesn't all of a sudden come to life defensively, this is the week where if you're going to get the tight ends open, if you're going to get the running game going, if you're going to get the vertical passing game going, today would probably be the day.
Wait, Mark, if my bet doesn't hit, are you going to pay for it?
Can I put it in? No,
put it on the Grody account.
I'm about to hit
I bet, so let me know. I mean, will you cover it?
I got you, Grody. I got you, man.
You got me. I could have one of my assistants pay for it, or my driver.
Okay. Well, your driver. That's what I was going to say. Your driver is probably your bookie.
Yeah. Cough up a fur ball.
Jack and a bookie.
You're the best, Mark. Thank you. Thanks, buddy. Mark. Great catching up with you. That is Mark Grody. He's our guy. He's out there. Not yet. But he will be soon. And we, of course, are your local Ford dealers pregame show on WSCR Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Or
if it's a great experience, you know, a lot of times people don't learn much from that. You know, you learn some things, but when you have adversity, I think that's when you learn.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford Dealers pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And I am Mully from the morning show. And gentlemen, pretty interesting just to hear Flus's voice, you know, no mention of any acronym, but just talking about learning when you go through difficulty. I feel like as a head coach, he was a really good defensive coordinator, and he's probably still a really good defensive coordinator. I don't know that he's a head coach, but when he took over the defensive coordinator position after the whole Allen Williams fiasco, he was good, and he did well with that group for a while and somehow got another year out of it. And then obviously all the head coaching elements that hit him, the game management and all the rest of it, it just caught up to him and it got ugly. But at the same time, I think you look at you look at where they are right now, there's been game management issues. The penalties are unbelievable. To have 20 penalties in two games, and I know it went from 12 to 8, so does that mean it goes now half it again, gets down to 4? What is an acceptable rate of penalty, and how do you handle it when, you know, one of the guys that he went to the podium praising, Darnell Wright, this week, is the leading culprit. He's got 4 penalties. He's got 2 offsides. He had a bad holding call on him, and he had a chop block. So I don't know how you work through all of these errors.
You got to cut out the mental mistakes, right? That's the big one, jumping offsides. I think when you play and you play aggressively, penalties are going to happen. And I think as a coach, you can be okay with that. You don't want to see it happen over and over and over. Maybe like the game you guys watched the game last week of the Giants left tackle having, what, 4 penalties in the first quarter or the first drive or whatever it was. You don't want to see that happen. But if you're having pre-snap penalties, that's correctable. I want to see that fixed. As far as the aggressive stuff and in-play penalties, like I said, you can be okay with that. You don't want to see a lot of it. You'd like to see it cleaned up. But if you can get those pre-snap penalties cleaned up, that might get you down to 4 for the team, right? So if we do that, that's winning football. I can deal with 4 penalties a game. You know, you set your standard to 0. But if you get down to 4 and you improve to that, that's winning football for this team. And I think that would be in a better direction for this team, but would be a good number to have today against this team, against the Cowboys.
Yeah, right around where Pat is, right? Like right around 5 to 7 penalties, and And then, like, good enough to overcome penalties and critical penalties, Pat. You're saying mental mistakes in critical situations are what kill teams. And turn, when we say, well, we'll let the Lions, you know, before we say, let the Lions lie in, or now it's the Bears, right? And just have them, you know, if you're a coach, you say, well, let's keep everything in front of us, make them run more plays, because why? They'll make mistakes, right? Yep. They'll eventually melt down on the way to the end zone, back themselves up, and hurt themselves, really. And that's what we've been watching the first couple of weeks. And like you're talking about, Mully, Darnell Wright on film, if you just look at his blocking and what he's been doing, he's a good football player, man. And he has a chance to be a really good football player. But we got to cut out the penalties. And some of them have been, like, you know, we call it the trap in the NFL, created by Tunch Ilkin, right, where you trap the guy's arm off of you. It's not a holding. It was a great block by him. But, Pat, I used to get called for holding on plays like that, too, where I would trap guys. And I remember a ref telling me one time, well, how did you get him to hit the ground like that if you didn't grab him and throw him down, right? So these are things that a lot of players go through. But, Pat, like you know, eventually as you go, now you send that film to the NFL office and say, look, this is the move I'm actually doing. I'm not grabbing their jersey. I'm not pulling them down. The good players on this team, and I'll keep saying this, I want to see young players become leaders of this football team. I want to see the young guys, Rome Odunze, Darnell Wright, the younger football players, Brisker, Tyreek Stevenson, see them take control of this football team, Caleb Williams, and get this football team moving in the direction it has to go in, and let everyone know that, look, all these penalties, all these mistakes we're making, they're unacceptable. We won't win football games if we keep doing them.
Well, that's a good point about leadership, Olin, because Darnell Wright, you've talked about him quite a bit, that you don't have to be a vocal guy. I want him to be the best player. He was drafted very high to be a stud right tackle, take care of that entire side. He has shown evidence of that. But as far as leadership from him, just go out there and be the dominating player. Then everybody's just going to look at you, and you are a leader because of your play. And he hasn't played consistent enough to do that. I want to go back to that trap play real quick, because that made me angry. You're talking about, we played, what, 12, 13 years ago. That came in 15, 16, 17 years ago. The fact the referee was still calling that a holding after they have all off seasons, they get coached on these techniques that O-linemen use. I just, you know, it was all over Twitter, right? All the O-linemen, everybody was saying, how do they call that? How do they call that? And that's unacceptable. And I just, that doesn't need to happen in the NFL. There's too much money. The game's too played at a high level. The referees need to be at a high level too. And that was just a horrible, horrible call on Darnell. I couldn't believe they did that. I just wanted to talk about that for a second.
I don't blame you.
The sad reality is when you gain a reputation as an undisciplined team, as a team that's going to – you're going to get called – you're going to get penalties called against you even more because, the referees are human too, and they go in, and as much as everybody scouts the officials, they probably are aware of what teams do, and there may be some manufactured calls just out of human nature, if nothing else.
Olin, I got a question for you, Olin.
To it. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I think you're going to answer. I want to ask you, because you played to the whistle. You played with an edge. Did the referee ever come up to you before a game and be like, Olin, we got our eyes on you?
All the time, right? And that's why when they come to camp, you take them out for a few drinks, right? You're trying to get a become their friend and hopefully get a
vet move.
Get a vet move. You get a few warnings before you get a call, right? You get a few warnings before you get a call, and you get to know guys a little bit more. And they know how you play, Pat. And I remember going to Tampa Bay, and Monty Kiffin would walk the refs to me when I warm up. And he'd tell them all the things that I would do during a game, right? And you got to watch Olin, and he does this, this, and this. And, he dives into piles and spears guys, and his fingers are moving, and he does all kind of things that – he shouldn't be doing it. And, you know, Monty was right. I was doing all of that, but they got to call it, right? But, Mully, to your point of this team, Ben Johnson talked about, Pat, we'll go to the silent count last week, right? Now they're back using cadence again. And remember that first game against Minnesota, it was just they were turning around when guys were jumping, and there was confusion on guys' face, right? Jonah Jackson, he jumped one time, turned around, Darnell Wright. Everybody, I remember Joe Tooney's face on TV, like, what the hell's going on here, right? So we're back to that again, and we'll be watching that today about, again, the details, the making sure guys are in motion. There was the fumble, right? The fumble against the Kansas City Chiefs in preseason because snap the ball too late and they hand off the jet sweep. That's all cadence control, Pat. That's all the responsibility of the quarterback, the offensive line, the running back, Swift jumping off sides, receivers going upfield in motion. There was a lot of problems the last time the Bears tried to use their cadence. So be watching them try to take a step today, get some of those things corrected.
And that's on Caleb.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that's on Caleb. I was talking about at the beginning of the show that it's time to win because of Caleb. You're the quarterback. You're in charge of all that stuff. You're obviously in charge of the cadence. You're in charge of being consistent with your cadence. You know, Olin, you were talking about guys looking around, and to me it looked like they're like, what was the cadence? Like, it just, it didn't seem uniform. It didn't seem like it was, you know, rhythmic. A lot of this, to me, it's on the quarterback. You're the general of the entire team. You're definitely the general of the offense. You're the general of the huddle. You're the general for the line calls, all that kind of stuff. That it's time now for Caleb to step up and us win because of Caleb. Let's not talk about his cadence and how it, you know, is causing issues. Let's talk about it, or let's talk about how it's causing issues to the defense. Let's get this thing rolling.
I keep threatening to mention this statistic, but apparently when the current defensive coordinator Dennis Allen was the head coach in New Orleans, he went 2-2 against Dallas because they would hold Dak to an 86 quarterback rating in four games on average, and that's pretty good. But he would, he had a full complement of players, and he would go after him a little bit, and he had a way of playing him. I don't know that still applies. I don't know that he can do the things that he wanted to do. It was interesting to me after watching the 52 points allowed last week in the fourth quarter meltdown in game one, that you go back to the preseason when they had that practice against Buffalo, Josh Allen leading Buffalo in that practice. He came out and he said, well, we belong on the field with them. We proved we belong on the field with those guys. And the defense was doing a pretty dominant job against the offense most of the training camp portion of the program. And you look, I know that means nothing, but you look at what's happened since. And I get it, you know, Jalen Johnson isn't there, but he wasn't there then. Kyler Gordon was hurt for much of training camp, and he's not there now. Maybe the linebacker was there, but it just feels like all of the promise of the defense coming through has somehow faded away once the games have begun.
Yeah, and you said it means nothing, right? I think it does mean nothing, and you're missing three of your best players. I think that's the biggest thing. And then some of your best players aren't being impactful. And, you know, we've called out Montez Sweat. Tremaine Edmonds not making, you know, big plays. As Dio had a good first game in the first three quarters, but you got to see these players step up and play for what they're getting paid. And that's just not happening as well.
Go ahead, Molly.
I was just going to say, the other thing that's not happening is there's no impact from your draft class. There is no impact. The Bears have a Shmar Turner was a second-round draft pick. There are guys, five players total who were second-round picks who have not been able to be on the game day roster. He's one of those five, or who have missed a game by coach's decision. He's one. Ozzie Trapillo is one. I think he has two. So the Bears account for three. And the other guy is the kick returner who doesn't play on offense. And I'm not, but they got three second round picks and they got virtually nothing out of those draft picks. And we talk about the tight end and whether he's going to feature on things. If you remember, the tight end, they brought him in, and the whole idea was, you know, they wanted this guy because he's such a mismatch, and he's going to be healthy by the time the game starts. And the coach loves to play 12, but he's really playing 11 because this guy is like a wide receiver down the field. The safeties can't stay with him. And in the middle of the field, he's just a total nightmare for a linebacker because of his athletic ability. None of that's come to fruition. None of the draft pieces that they went out and got are actually doing anything.
It's a great point, Mully. And Pat talked about Caleb earlier, but even to a bigger point, we talked about Darnell, right? And we can go right down the line, right? And you're talking about Colson Loveland, you're talking about Luther Burden, you're talking about Ozzie Trapillo. But you can say Kyler Gordon, you say Jaquan Brisker, you say Tyreek Stevenson, you can say Javon Dexter. You can say, where are these guys? That's what we keep pushing. Like, where are these guys rising to Pro Bowl, All-Pro, top 10 at their position level? And it's really early in the season, right? But when you watch the film and you're looking for a high-level play, now Jalen Johnson, when he's out there, you do see high-level play. I have not seen Kyler Gordon yet this year. Javon Dexter needs to play better. Like I said, I think Darnell Wright is close, right? But this team has to put better film out there. Mm-hmm. And to Mully's point, a lot of it is a lot of draft assets that we have used. And to your point, Pat, about the quarterback, is we're waiting for these young guys to come up and make some plays, right? You gave Dial a lot of money, right? And you know, you drafted Colson Loveland, and a guy who went after him, Mikael Williams, in San Francisco, had a great week last week. And that's only his second week of the season, but he's been opposite Joey Bosa, and he's allowing Joey Bosa to get to the quarterback by pushing the pocket, and people are raving about him this week. So you're watching closely this football team that, yes, the details have to matter. Yes, they have to practice better. But Pat, when I hear that, I hear, like, we got to do better in the weight room. We got to do better nutrition. We got to watch film better. We got to do everything better to get our team playing better and develop these young football players to move them in the right direction where they start dominating football games.
Yeah, two things. I mean, Shamar Turner not getting reps and being inactive is interesting. Second-round pick, right? You're playing Chris Williams over him. Chris Williams was a free agent signing, mid-season last year, I think?
Yep. And I like Chris Williams, but he's not good enough to play over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I get you. So what I'm getting to at as well is something's going on in Hallis Hall. I know he was injured a little bit during the offseason, but you've got to earn your playing time. And I think Ben Johnson did talk about that. You got to earn your playing time. So to me, something else is going on at Hallis Hall, practice-wise, whatever. Talk weight room-wise, film-wise, whatever, the reason why he's not getting reps. And then it's also concerning to me that you draft Ozzie in the second round, and he can't be your swing tackle. I know you tried him at left tackle, and now you're saying he's a right tackle. But you're hoping that guy, when you draft him, can do both, right? That he can hopefully be a starter, but at a young age, is your swing tackle. That says a lot to me about him, that you've got Theo Benedict, a guy from the Canadian League, from Canada, playing over him, who you drafted to potentially be a starter.
And we haven't even mentioned Kieran Amagaji, the Velus Jones of left tackles.
Oh, no.
Don't get me going.
Oh, no.
We'll be right back.
It is like Pat's saying, man, there's when you look at it, when you watch film, that's all we have, right, Pat, is the film. Is there is something in the developing of young players that the Bears need to figure out.
All right, we will be right back. You're listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We are talking it over, getting into all of the major issues with the Chicago Bears, and God knows there aren't just one or two, But, guys, I still think they got a shot in this game. I still think this is the kind of game where if they're good enough, they should be okay. I mean, I get it. They're going to allow a ton of points. But there is an opportunity to score against this team that they need to take advantage of.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely a better matchup for them than I've seen in the first 2 weeks. Now, the first week with the rookie quarterback, and we saw what the Atlanta Falcons did to the Minnesota Vikings last week, Pat, that's what kind of worries me a little bit when I look at the matchups and who are the Chicago Bears this year and how good of a football team are they when you see Atlanta dismantle the Vikings offense last week. So it worries you a little bit going into this game against, you know, the Cowboys. But as far as just matchup man for man, I think the Chicago Bears do match up well. I think they can score points on this Eberflus defense. Very interested to see what Eberflus thinks slows down Caleb Williams, right? What does he think Caleb Williams struggles with? What game plan does he wrap around? What coverages does he roll to? What simulated pressure? What blitzes does he bring after being in the building with Caleb for half a year? What does he think Caleb Williams struggles to see and get rid of, and how do they contain him? Now, I don't know if he has the bullets in his gun to compete today against Caleb Williams, but I think both cornerbacks could be out. So the Chicago Bears do match up well, especially offensively. Now, defensively, man, they just got to keep things in front of them, make it hard to score, try to hold them to field goals, hopefully, instead of touchdowns. But man for man, Mully, as you're talking about today, better matchup for the Chicago Bears, especially being at home.
Oh, and that's a great point about Eberflus against Caleb, because those coaches, they know your weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. I'll just talk about myself. Of like when I played against Keith Armstrong, who was my first special teams coordinator, he brought up different rushes that he knew I hated going to the right, just different things that he knew how to attack me personally. I know it's just being a long snapper, but coaches know your weaknesses. So I think Ben Johnson can actually learn a lot from Matt Eberflus and his defensive game plan. And your other good point was, does he have enough bullets in that gun? I don't think he does. I don't think he has enough talent on that defensive side of the ball to stop Caleb in this offense. And I'm saying that kind of hopefully from what we've seen for the first few weeks. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen on tape from Dallas the first couple weeks, they're going to give up points. And like I said, there's that Spider-Man meme going on in the defensive backfield where they still have not figured out some of these calls, some of their roles, their plays or whatnot. So hopefully Caleb can take advantage of that. And again, this is the game, and I'm calling it, this is the game where you've got to win because of Caleb. You know, he's also seen Matt Eberflus's defense. He's also gone against that during training camp, mini camp, off season. He's seen the cover two defense. He knows what kind of the weaknesses are there. So I expect him to play well. And this is a game where he needs to step up. And at the end of the day, when we're talking tonight at 8 o'clock and we're celebrating a win, we're celebrating Caleb.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, we don't really talk about – we talked a little bit about Ben Johnson last week. You know, he was the guy that knew both sides of the ball, had more – you know, throw that out. But now you got Eberflus coming in. And like I said, there are 33 players. There are still a lot of defensive players. You wonder how – if he can – you know, help if he has enough information that he could help Brian Schottenheimer put together a game plan, or is it do we overplay this sort of thing because, you know, Flusi was running a fairly simple version of the cover two. It wasn't like there were, it's not like he dials up a lot of pressure or relies on coming from different angles. If you see some of that stuff, that might be interesting, but I just don't know if that is a very significant storyline as much as everybody wants to talk about it.
Well, as Pat said, though, it is a storyline, right? It is.
Yes.
Like Eberflus does know what kind of chip Montez Sweat doesn't like.
Yes.
Right? He does know what route Tremaine Edmonds combinations would struggle with and what he thought he needed to work on. So he does know these things. Tyreek Stevenson, right? When is he primed for a double move? How do you work him during the game? How do you set a guy like that up? What should we be looking for? So, you know, Eberflus is the head coach, and some of it is overplayed, and it goes both ways, and there's new players and all that stuff. But that information, Pat, when we had guys out in our building, we would talk to them, right? They say, okay, like, you know this guy better than anybody. What do you think? And, like, when you'd go against an old coach, you knew all of a sudden, man, oh, why am I seeing – the one front I hate to see every day. Well, now I know why, right? I know this guy is on my snap hand, crowding the ball, and they know the exact move I want to do to them and how I take away that technique. So that stuff is real, but The players know that going into the game, and the Eberflus effect on this game will be real. And for me, very interesting to watch the way, especially like we talked about, the way he attacks Caleb. And then I'll be watching little things on, you know, how they maybe chip on Montez Sweat and what they do there for Terrence Steele to get a little help for guys against different pass rushes. So interesting game, I think, to watch for what Eberflus thinks the Bears are.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back and head down to Dallas, get a scouting report of where the Cowboys are at. We'll do that next. You're listening to your local Ford Dealers pregame show. It's on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.